Welcome. My perspective this week will of course be the great football action that was this past weekend and recent current events. Let us start with the action from the NFL this weekend, which was great for some teams, not so great for a host of others. The week of football started with an NFC East showdown between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. The battles between these two historic franchises with 9 combined Super Bowl trophies between them has been somewhat one-sided lately. The Cowboys have owned the Giants for quite some time. The two games last season between these two rivals were not even close, non-competitive to say the least, where the Dallas defense manhandled the Giants, but this matchup was a tight game throughout. The Cowboys made a habit last season of gaining large early leads and controlling the game from that point on, especially with a vaunted defense that scored and secured takeaways. When they are not able to do either, you get the game we saw on Thursday, a game where the Cowboys were the better team, but were not really remarkable compared to the last two seasons. The Giants were lackluster for the most part, but consistently got into field goal range, scoring on 5 possessions. Not sure what the thinking was on the last drive. I would assume that they could have run a play to reduce the distance before taking all the Hail Mary attempts and the eventual interception. At least give Daniel Jones the ability to reach the end zone with those desperation throws. The clear frontrunner for the NFC East appears to be the Washington Commanders, led by rookie Jalen Daniels. They have an impressive win over the Cincinnati Bengals, and currently sit on top of the division after the first 4 games. Still too early to project, but they look different than past iterations of this team. That is what happens when you have organizational stability from top to bottom. The early favorites to win the division are not looking good right now. The Philadelphia Eagles, without both of their starting wide receivers, starting left tackle, and returner, laid an egg in the heat against the Tampa Bay Bucks, who beat them early and often. Given the injuries, I think most of us Eagles fans realized that this was an uphill battle, but I think the lack of effort, energy, and detail was troubling. Jalen Hurts missed some throws, but only came out of this game with 1 turnover. So I guess that is an improvement for one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the league, who has been struggling with interceptions. But his surrounding cast did not do much to help the cause. Goddard had an overall decent game, but that early drop was symbolic of the day the Eagles would have. Embattled coach Nick Sirianni did not have to make any hard decisions, because the players showed they can make many bad ones all by themselves. Isaiah Rogers actually spoke of not knowing that you cannot push defenders into your receiver is completely naive. Maybe that was next to the rule that you should not gamble on football. A really bad Sunday before their bye. Jordan Love returned to the Packers this week to face an undefeated Minnesota Vikings team. Maybe he should have waited one more week. The Vikings ran out to a large lead early, showing that the NFC North may be more competitive from top to bottom than any other division right now. Love could have returned against the Rams, a much easier game for the Packers. The Falcons beat the Saints, sending both teams to a full game behind Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, who seem to pick a battle with the wrong goat. Baker is back to playing good football on a team that is truly embracing him and his talent. His receivers are dropping too many of his passes that he puts in really catchable spots. The Chiefs are showing that they do not have to score a lot of points, do not have to go up and down the field with flashy stats, can play games while the broadcast teams obsess about who is in the luxury box. They simply check off win after win after win. But they may have suffered another key injury, with Rashee Rice potentially suffering a torn ACL. The 49ers got back to .500 with a win over the New England Patriots, and the Bengals finally won a game this season, conveniently with the Carolina Panthers as their opponent. The Jets took a 1-point loss to the Broncos, and the Jaguars are once again bottom dwellers. Surprisingly, after making their starting quarterback Trevor Lawrence one of the highest-paid players in the league, Florida-based teams are not having much luck with quarterback extensions with injury or bad play. The Sunday night game featured a showdown between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, a preview of my projected AFC Championship game. The Baltimore Ravens handily defeated the Buffalo Bills, setting the tone early with an 87-yard run by Derrick Henry, who continues to show teams that he is far from washed up. The Ravens have appeared to right the ship and are only 1 game back, as the Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the Indianapolis Colts. On Monday night, the Detroit Lions faced the Seattle Seahawks, and the Miami Dolphins took on the Tennessee Titans. Having 2 Monday night games can be good, but I think these 2 matchups may be better reserved for the Sunday slate. Prior to the Tua injury, the Dolphins against the Lions could have been an intriguing game. The Dolphins without their top 2 quarterbacks and the Titans losing Will Leaves was not great football. Huntley simply has not been there long enough to have timing with their talented pool of receivers, and it showed. The Titans just do not seem that good, but did win the game. The Lions took an early double-digit lead and did not look back. A slightly better game, but still not competitive, as Seattle did not keep close enough to make it compelling except for a brief period. But the Lions will need to keep pace with the surging Vikings. The Packers will eventually round into form, and the Bears may show some growth. The Titans finally got Brian Callahan his first NFL victory, so there is some good. Let us take a moment to talk about other sports. First off, condolences to the families of the great Pete Rose, baseball's hit king and member of the 1980 World Series champion Phillies team, and Dikembe Mutombo, a former Sixer and member of the 2001 team that made the finals. May these greats rest in peace? The Braves and Mets took their battle for the final spots to the last out, while the National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks could only watch. The Mets came back to win the first game in the top of the ninth, earning their playoff spot. The Braves shut out the Mets in a game that started less than an hour later, earning a higher seed than the Mets and eliminating the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks started the final week ahead of both the Braves and Mets, but giving up 5 runs in a game against the Padres did not help their chances. The Dodgers, Phillies, Yankees, and Guardians earned the byes. The Braves face the Padres. The Mets travel to Milwaukee. The Orioles will take on the Royals. And the Tigers will take on the Houston Astros. Now on to our first non-sports topic. Another high-profile indictment of a key political figure, Democrat Mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, was indicted on 5 counts accusing the sitting mayor of corruption, conspiracy, accepting bribes, and campaign finance violations, becoming the first sitting mayor of America's largest city to face federal criminal charges. In response, Mayor Adams held a preemptive press conference informing the public of the pending indictment before it was released and vowing to fight it. After it was announced, he reportedly pleaded not guilty to all charges, but he is receiving some strong reactions from fellow Democrats, who are calling for him to step aside. Mayor Adams is not the only Democrat facing or surrounded by federal investigations. Not that long ago, Democrats saw longtime Senator and Bob Menendez of my home state of New Jersey be convicted on 16 federal charges related to bribery and corruption, not that long after defeating the feds on the first accusation. Earlier this year, a few short months ago, a top aide to New York Governor Kathy Hochul, Linda Sun, was arrested by the FBI being accused of serving as a spy for China, where the Hochul administration cooperated with federal law enforcement after they found evidence of wrongdoing, received funds to have a really nice home in a high-income area of Long Island. So New York City Mayor Eric Adams is not alone in the sense of being indicted by the federal government. And we all know that the federal government usually wins to some degree. Even in the case of perceived lawfare with former President Donald Trump, there are currently 5 counts, but some report that more charges could still come later as the investigation continues. Just like with Menendez, who was convicted of 16 counts, after being initially charged with 3, Hochul could simply remove Adams from office, but he is a progressive ally, so there is a difference in treatment. Adams faces stiff competition if he is able to run for another term. Recently, there were some reports that the Biden administration has some doubts on the plan for victory provided by Ukrainian President Zelensky. The news and reported data from the conflict that has gone on way too long is quite troubling. Even with the support of the United States, Europe, and others, Ukraine has not really seemed to make any sustainable gains in their fight against their invaders, Russia. While some in America want to claim that any question is siding with the enemy, I think any rational person would ask what exactly are we doing to help them actually prevail if we feel that their plan is not going to be effective. Reporting shows that even the equipment and arsenal only provides fleeting gains as Russia adapts fairly quickly. At some point, there might need to be a discussion on what is the realistic end goal and next phase. Ukraine is reportedly running out of troops, and I do not think anyone wants to see the West commit to providing troops for this conflict. That would be a bridge too far. We cannot continue to pretend that the war is going well and people are not losing their lives. In the meantime, Israel is making great progress in delivering justice to their enemies, receiving far less support from the United States, but is addressing multiple threats at the same time. Again, we want all these conflicts to end and the loss of life to stop, but we also need those doing wrong to be brought to justice and made incapable of continuing their hate-driven terrorism. Finally, our last topic is regarding the rhetoric during an election cycle that can be quite ridiculous. For instance, the commercial by the Harris campaign where a teacher is opening her bills talking about making ends meet but thinking about billionaires having excess funds. My reaction to that commercial is to question why that teacher did not think about what the typical salary is for a teacher before committing to the career choice. Teaching is a great endeavor, but certain career paths do not provide the same compensation as others. That is just the reality of supply and demand. There are many schools pumping out teachers that can pass certification exams. Not many people can create the unique products, services, and content that people value and are willing to pay for. There are teachers that go beyond their station in life to live more comfortably by making the right choices to make the income stretch further and grow without additional time spent working. Many educators understand the importance of growing their wealth through investing in passive income to supplement their salary, or investing in financial markets to earn capital gains to provide a rainy day fund or future nest egg. The narrative around investing in capital gains is politically and purposefully misleading, because we all are beneficiaries of capital gains. You do not have to be a billionaire to be an investor, and in fact, Most investors are not. These politicians would rather see you spend your hard-earned money in casinos or lotteries rather than in financial assets that grow your well-being. Rather than punishing investing, policymakers should be encouraging investments and making investing more accessible, which it already is. Investors are not bad people, and they make our society great, create opportunities for middle-class Americans, working-class Americans to elevate their status in life. Life is about choices, not about jealousy. Your choices were different from those made by others. Rather than pitting one group against each other to cover up the hardships caused by policies supported by progressive politicians, people should be focused on creating environments that empower people to make the right choices for their economic futures. One company I worked for was started by a teacher who saw a need in the market, and he created a solution that not only helped his profession, but provided useful services to many other industries and sectors at the same time. He was not angry that someone else didn't have a solution. He embraced the challenge and invested in his idea. Our rugged free market economy is built on entrepreneurship and self-reliance. That is what we forget about America. We are being groomed to ignore the American dream in favor of social roles and categorization. We are encouraged to be a union worker or some cog for an established organization, rather than challenging the status quo. Sheep for the shepherd. Nothing wrong with contributing to an established brand or organization. That may work for you at certain points in your life. Rather than being jealous of someone for making a different decision and that different path is perceived to be more fruitful, understand what choices you can make to find a better path for yourself. And it may help to question, why is that politician asking me to be mad or hold unjust emotions against another person? How can a person be a leader for all when they pit one group against another, when they see nothing more than your demographics? America does not need a leader that wants to pretend to be your friend. Be a friend of the middle class when the policies they champion do nothing but shrink and harm the middle class. The middle class needs income mobility and real opportunity to trade experience and skill for higher compensation. Be able to grow their wealth beyond finding more hours in a day to spend behind a desk or computer. If a person is against investing and helping spur economic growth through financial capital, then that politician does not truly believe in the power and potential of the American people. If a person is scared of people having the freedom to plot their own path in life, the freedom to speak and think freely, then that person does not truly trust the people they want to lead. That person is not a leader. In an upcoming post on the Christopher Peter Review, I'm going to discuss the flawed ideology that continues to divide our society.
Thank you for experiencing this featured presentation of the Christopher Peter Review. Please continue to visit www.crcreview.com for more. Please subscribe on YouTube and YouTube Music. Your viewership and support is greatly appreciated.